The doctor was the monk. Sorry, old habits. Here we go. How does a podcast evolve after you've practically solved every puzzy and riddy? You really gotta expand upon your limited brand before your show gets really shitty. You turn to face reality and pray your personalities will carry this last minute pivot through. So here comes the content that nobody wanted. Now it's time for Hate Riddle Riddles Clue Crew.
Okay, and we're stretching. Aaron, I need you to take your arm and I need you to reach for the sidewall.
You know my history with stretching, Adel, so just okay. Be kind
right.
to me.
You take a sweet little seat. GBC, you're doing amazing. You are doing a handstand wall in full splits.
And my hips are melting into my form like butter.
Okay.
I'm melting into my hips.
Okay. Our beautiful, beautiful.
And I'm opening a bag of Cape Cod potato chips and angrily eating them.
Aaron, so much crunching.
And my butter is melting into her chips.
Okay.
Melting into her chips like butter.
Interesting.
Okay. Oh, can we do an activity next that I'm good at?
Oh, hold on. Real quick. The two of you have somehow melted into each other. You are now one giant person named Jaren.
I can't believe it's not Jaren. We're melting into Jaren like butter.
Get me out of here.
Hold on, wait.
Hold on, Aaron, you're 14 feet tall. You sure you want to leave?
I had a million foot idea. Here's my idea. Has anyone ever done this? Have you guys ever, you know, like the hot butter, it's not really butter, that you put on like movie theater popcorn?
Sure. Mm-hmm.
That on chips? Would that be okay?
Would that be anything?
Wait. What kind of chip?
Now I'm trying to think of like Doritos, nacho cheese Doritos.
Maybe a corn chip? Maybe butter on a corn chip?
Because that's kind of like nachos. But yeah. what about salt and vinegar Cape Cod like potato chips? Would melted butter on that be good?
Maybe.
I think some scientists follow us and could maybe figure this out for us.
Food scientists. Well,
I mean, first of all, I think melted butter on almost anything is probably going to be pretty good, right?
Yeah, but is it just going to slide off the chip? Like, is it? I don't know if it enhances the,
honestly,
the flavor.
Honestly,
it doesn't enhance the flavor. That's the one thing it does enhance.
Can I admit something to you too that I'm very embarrassed about?
Uh oh.
And I wasn't expecting to share. Last night I put a thing of foie gras on a thin mint and ate it.
Wait.
When Adel gets a little bit high and goes into his kitchen.
Well, I was a lot of bit high.
You sure?
And I had
walk around a Fit Bit, yeah. You don't say.
When I went to France, I had like a little 4-ounce thing of foie gras that I had not opened. So I opened it. And
wait,
I was like,
that was like months ago.
That was months ago. But it said it's good till like 2023.
Okay.
So I had some and I was like, this is delicious. And I was like, I need to put it on, it needs a vehicle. And all I had was thin mints. And so I put some on a thin mint. Turns out it was delicious.
Hold on, Adel.
Yes.
That's so insane that I questioned if I knew what foie gras was. Gras was or thin mints. I was like, I must be mistaken about what those two things are.
Take everything you know about the Girl Scouts and throw it out the window.
But wait, you said it was good? What do you mean it was good?
Yeah, he's confused. JBC.
I should try it when I'm not stoned. But while stoned, fantastic. Very tasty.
What?
Interesting. Yeah, man. I don't know. Your palate is something
chocolatey,
else.
Chocolatey, fatty, salty, sweet. Cold.
I don't know.
I have that book.
You might be smart. Okay, hold on. Okay. It's also just so interesting because before we started recording, I told you guys that my throw up bucket, because I've been throwing up the last couple days, is right next to me.
Your thrucket. That JPC provided for you. We should do our thrucket check-in count. What's the thrucket count?
How many times have I thrown up?
Yeah.
Today?
Yeah.
Three, I think.
Okay.
Not bad. We're slowing down. It's pretty exciting over here.
Yeah, does foie gras and a thin mint make you want to?
Yep, there we go. That's what I'm saying.
The tap is slowly turning off.
Uh-huh.
But that turned it back on, thinking about French meat on top of a Girl Scout cookie.
French meat. JPC, here's what I'll say. I'm going to figure out, I don't know what goes into it, but I'm going to figure out how to make movie theater popcorn. Movie theater butter. And I'm going to have a little taste test. You're going to come over. I'm going to have like 20 things. We're going to put buttered popcorn, I keep saying buttered popcorn. We're going to put butter on all of them.
Okay.
And see what tastes good. So we'll have like a little dish of M&Ms.
Sure.
We'll have some like banana bread. We'll
I guess
gummy bears.
I guess my favorite part about this is I guess I don't get a say in it. I guess I'm doing this. I guess yeah. I volunteered by asking the question. You know, that's fine. I think, first of all, it'll make me sick, but it's the good kind of sick. Like the kind of sick that you get from eating Taco Bell. Like that kind of
yeah.
sick.
Like after a workout, where it's like, this is a good kind of terrible.
No, that's it's a way different kind of sick. Wait, you think that the same kind of sick that you get after you eat at Taco Bell is the kind after you work out?
I feel, truly, I emotionally, I physically feel the exact same after I work out and then after I have horrible fast food. I feel
is
the same.
Is eating Taco Bell not a workout?
Yeah, it's like when you run for like 6 miles, what do they call that? They call that a gordita high. They call that like, because your gordita endorphins are surging through your body, yeah.
I do want to take a split second.
You should be an ad for Taco Bell. Go ahead.
I do want to promote my workout. I have a new workout diet and exercise book. It is called Body by Bell. It is where you can
I would buy it. That's hilarious.
Eating Taco Bell or not eating Taco Bell.
Can I say something about movie theater butter that is nonsense?
Yes, sure, ma'am. Yeah.
I feel like movie theater butter is the American cheese of the butter world.
Okay. Mm. Now, when you say American cheese, do you mean like Kraft Singles?
Like Kraft Singles. That's exactly what I mean. Like that Kraft Singles to the cheese world is what movie theater popcorn butter is to the butter world. Like it is such a specific taste and it really only tastes good in like one context.
Mm-hmm.
But it's so good in that context. Mm-hmm. But it also sort of makes you feel sick.
I think that makes perfect sense. I don't think it makes no sense. I think it makes perfect sense.
Great. I have no idea what's going on. I've been in and out of sleep for the last couple of days.
I do have to say that Mariah has turned me completely around on American cheese because I always thought American cheese was Kraft Singles. Kraft Singles is American cheese, but we get like go to the deli and get sliced American cheese. Like I think it's Land O'Lakes or something, but you know, it's like deli sliced cheese and it's great. And it doesn't taste anything like Kraft Singles, but it might be my favorite type of sliced cheese.
Are you putting that on sandwiches?
Grilled cheese. I do it on like I make like breakfast sandwiches, and so I do it on like sausage and egg sandwiches. Yeah, exactly, melted.
I do think I could be wrong. I feel like years and years ago I read something where Kraft Singles are like it's not even cheese.
I think that's why they call them Kraft Singles.
Yeah,
because
like
they can't
legally,
call it cheese.
Legally, it's not cheese. Which is terrifying.
I mean, don't look at too hard at the things that you find at the grocery store. Because legally, it's not really what it is. Yeah. Also, someone told me the other day, and this may be even something that one of you has told me before, but my brother told me because we were at Cafe Papariba, your favorite place in the world.
Just threatened to punch JP through the screen.
We got Brussels sprouts as one of the things that we were eating, and we were eating the Brussels sprouts, and my older brother was like, Brussels sprouts weren't just bad when we were growing up, because they scientifically altered Brussels sprouts to make them better in the last 15 years.
Is that true?
So it's not that we remember like Brussels sprouts being bad, it's that they were bad, and now they're just genetically good.
I had read that it was all preparation because I think our parents were like, you have to boil these, and then new techniques and new chefs came along and they're like, if you pan fry these, if you do this or that, this is how to make them.
I definitely think it's both because I used to have steamed vegetables all the time as a kid and it made vegetables bad, I had never heard that. I had heard the thing that you were saying, Adel, and again, this is disinformation that we're spreading on our podcast.
I love that.
So.
That's fine. But that is funny timing that a vegetable got like genetically changed from when we were a kid to an adult because you just assume you grew up and that's why they taste better.
But it's like all the bananas that were existed 100 years ago are all extinct now too because like all the bananas that we have now are just genetically they went bad. After 100 years, can you believe it?
How about all the apples that were grown on the day I was born? Are they still good?
If they're in your fridge and they're sealed in the foie gras, then they're still good, Adel. You can still eat those apples.
Thank you.
Do you remember the meltdown I had at the Hello from the Magic Tavern live show in Kalamazoo like 6 years ago? Because on stage, I realized
Let me check my Aaron meltdown journal.
Let's see. Wow, it's like really big. That's like he's encyclopedias behind him.
This is 2020.
Yeah.
This is 2022, I mean, this is 4 months of this journal.
That makes sense. But I was on stage as Momo and I realized I don't know where the banana seeds are. And I had like a nervous breakdown. They're like, all right, well, that was a great job. Thanks, Momo. And then you had other guests on and I came back on the stage and grabbed the mic and started reading the Wikipedia page. I was so mind blown.
Yeah, it was pretty great.
Wow, that is great. And it has nothing to do with what we're here to discuss on the show today.
Sorry.
Now, intrepid listeners may notice that you're looking at the title of this episode and it's something about brackets or whatever. Yes, we are going to be doing some more brackets. We haven't done brackets in a while. And the last time that we did brackets, I thought to myself, well, JPC, what's another way to kind of twist this around? And so I think instead of doing individual brackets for the two of you, mm-hmm. I'm going to make the two of you, God help us all, collaborate. So I have two brackets for you today, and you are going to have to collaborate. Now, you will not be able to move on until you guys can come to some sort of agreement on who, you know, wins each round.
Adel's been trying to get us to go to friendship therapy, and mm-hmm. I keep resisting, and he found a way to do it. How dare you, Adel, trickster.
I said to y'all, ever since Metallica did it, I want us to do it.
I do think for this first round, Adel, I do think you're going to need to lean on Aaron a little heavier. I could be wrong, but I think that Aaron's expertise might help you in the first bracket. I think that, well, I don't know. The second one's pretty obvious. Maybe Adel will have a stronger hand in the second one, but
lean on my sexpertise?
Sexpertise.
Wait, Adel needs me. Well, well, well.
So
what an interesting
Aaron,
revelation.
I think every day of my life I'm trying to collaborate with you, and you either respond to my text or don't.
So I had this great idea, and I got to give a shout out to Mariah because I told Mariah this idea, and Mariah basically wrote the whole thing for me because she was so excited about this.
An angel.
An absolute angel. But the idea here is that we are going to be casting our own romantic comedy two-hander.
Yes,
so
yes.
What I have in this first bracket is a bracket full of romantic comedy leads. Now, these are going to be the characters, not the actors. So I have picked out, mostly Mariah has picked out 32.
Perfect.
Romantic comedy, the character.
Yes.
I will give you the actor as well, but it's the character. So if you need me to, I do have on hand the ability to look up a little bit about that character.
Perfect.
if you guys are completely lost.
And I need to lean on Aaron because there's going to be names I don't know, probably.
I'm hoping between the two
like
of you.
Scream Queens or something.
I did also write down the actor's name just in case. I'm hoping between the two of you can figure it out. But if not, we can go to the wiki to try to figure out a little more about this actor. So
this
you guys ready
fun
for,
and I'm excited.
A two-hander is when the guy's dick is real big?
Yeah, no, that's a three-hander. Two-hander's normal.
Read my exercise book and you'll find all the answers you're looking for.
Again, with these things, I just randomized the seed, but we have 32 romantic comedy leads. Are you two ready? And remember, you have to come to an agreement here.
Yeah, honestly, yes. JPC, I want to tell you, I love these episodes and I love the topics that you choose and I just wanted to thank you.
Okay, you're very welcome.
Can I say, am I freaking, what's that guy from Van Halen? Am I freaking Collabo Wabo? Because I'm thrilled to be here. Does that make sense?
Is it Eddie Van Halen?
You're delusional from your snack you ate yesterday.
Let me walk you through this joke. So Sammy Hagar, who took over for David Lee Roth.
We're ready.
He has a tequila company called Cabo Wabo. So did a little fun play on that and called it Collabo Wabo.
You have duck poisoning. You have duck chocolate mint poisoning.
Yeah. This is a common symptom of that.
I'm on the health.org duck poisoning website.
Do not combine French meat and Thin Mints.
Okay, here we go. Your first one, we have Graham, which is Jude Law's character from The Holiday. Just watched that for the first time, I think, last year.
Good.
And we have Jack Traynor, which is Harrison Ford's character from Working Girls.
Okay.
Jack Traynor.
I think we gotta go, although no one is hotter than a young Harrison Ford, and that's the
Ditto.
Name of my third book.
Ditto,
but,
yes, I agree.
But Graham in The Holiday is got to be one of the most iconic rom-com leads.
I think Harrison Ford has more of, he's like handsome and as he ages, he's a little more hangdog and rugged, which I enjoy.
Okay, remember, Adel,
yes.
This is not Harrison Ford. It's Jack Traynor. It's very important because Harrison Ford might be on this twice. You don't know.
Okay.
He could come again.
Is Star Wars a rom-com? I love
it's
you.
It's the original.
I know. That's like, that should be a rom-com line.
But Graham is so such a icon in that world because you see him with his daughters. That's the real thing that pushes him over the edge. Is he has two little girls and he's a widow and he's so cute with them and
he
like just
really
fits
with them. Also, Jude Law is so charming and like I mean that character is just a little charm monster.
He's a charm monster.
I don't know if
he's British. Adel.
I mean, once a guy has kids, he's not fuckable because his penis is all loose and stretched out.
I am imploring you to read one book. Read, you have thousands in your house. Just read, crack open one of them.
Oh, Aaron, also, these are all Mad Libs.
I seem to recall in that movie, too, his sweater game is, I mean, it's like English, like winter, you know, it's around Christmas, but his sweater game's pretty on point.
I'm sorry, JPC, do you mean his jumper game?
I don't necessarily know if a jumper means sweater, but yes, sure.
Or collie box. Aaron, is he British in The Holiday?
Very.
Is he British in The Holiday? He's very okay. British.
I do think a character with a nice British accent is pretty good. Let's, and it feels like Harrison Ford probably will rear his dirty little head again, as per JPC's hint.
Go ahead.
So I think we can go through the love, if that's what you're hoping.
All right, Graham moves on. Jack Traynor, I'm sorry. Jack Traynor, you do not move on. Okay, so here we go.
The hottest Harrison Ford ever was Indiana Jones, the one where, which one is the one where you actually see him as a professor for a little bit at the beginning?
That's the third one where the student closes her eyes and it says, like, love you or something.
Yeah, whatever that one is.
The words love you. I think that's the beginning of three.
He looks so hot in that movie. It's insane. Oh my God. Go ahead.
Okay, here we go. We have John Smith, which is Brad Pitt's character from Mr. and Mrs. Smith. Mm-hmm. Or with the second option is we have Cher, which is not Cher. It is Alicia Silverstone's character from Clueless.
Oh, we got to go her. Icon.
Whoa, Adel's hitting you with that long
Let
that
me guess.
Consideration.
Sure. Adel's going to say the opposite of whatever I say every time. Let me guess.
I don't really remember Mr. and Mrs. Smith. I remember it being like sort of entertaining, but it wasn't. It wasn't like one that I like went back to the well on.
Yeah, I also would say that she's more charming than him in that movie, which is crazy because I usually think Brad Pitt is kind of a charisma monster, not so much in that.
Here's what we have to think about and debate and discuss, Aaron: is Cher going to be driving a car? Because if she is, I'm terrified.
Yeah, that's true, but she's a feminist icon and. A very, very funny role for a woman, a young woman, when those didn't really exist that much.
I do love her in that movie. That I think Clueless is more of a classic than Mr. and Mrs. Smith, for sure.
Oh, hard agree.
And her with Paul Rudd, when they're watching that movie,
But I will say her in the Crazy video, Aerosmith Crazy, when she jumps off the bridge, but she actually has a bungee cord around her waist. Very good.
Adel has poisoning.
Let's go. Let's go with Alicia Silverstone. Sure.
We're doing Alicia. Okay, Alicia Silverstone. Moving on. Here's your next one.
Uh-oh.
I'm sorry. I'm laughing at a little editorializing that Bri did in the spreadsheet. We have Trip, which is Matthew McConaughey in Failure to Launch, or as Bri wrote, Matt McConaughey. Just N-U-G-H-G-H-G-H-G-H-G-H.
Or
we have
pronunciation.
We have Gracie Hart, which is Sandra Bee in Miss Congeniality.
Okay. Sandra Bee, 100%.
Yeah, 100%.
No wiggle room. I'm putting my foot down.
Failure to Launch was so unwatchable.
I didn't see it, but I remember Miss Congeniality.
Failure to Watch.
Miss Congeniality is a legit good movie.
And Aaron, correct me if I'm wrong, but you're not a Matt McConaughey fan, right?
Oh, no,
yeah,
sir.
That's not your guy. Yeah, I thought
Mr. Conservatives and liberals are equally bad and we all just need to come together. Hey.
All we got to do is drive a Buick, and that's...
Cadillac Buick. I will say, I think Sandra Bullock is one of the most underrated actors of our generation.
Have you guys seen The Lost City yet?
I have not yet, but I plan to. And
then
I feel like she also is just hachi-machi. Like, yes, please. I would put her on a little...
Hello, nurse.
Little hall pass list.
You got to watch All About Steve. It will completely change your mind about Sandra Bullock.
Oh, no. What's All About Steve?
It's the one that she won like a Razzie for.
It's bad.
Oh, no.
It's a bad script. And it's a lot of people making choices that someone should have tapped them on the shoulder and said, just walk away.
Mariah's doing a really good job with this list.
Okay. A great job. I helped out way more on the second list. Here we go. The next one we have is we have Johnny Castle, who is Patrick Swayze from Dirty Dancing, or Wesley, who is Cary Elwes from The Princess Bride.
Yeah, you can't. You gotta go
Princess Bride.
That the best.
Yeah, we have to.
Yeah.
He's so good
his
in
blue
it.
Eyes, his little blonde hair falling in front of his eyes.
I didn't seed these, but that's a strong seed. That's like a Duke. Is that a reference?
Hard.
Is Duke still good? Duke was good when I was a kid.
Yeah, Duke's good.
Okay.
That moment in Princess Bride when he is trying to get like the sensation in his body back and he has to put his hand in with the two guys before they storm the castle is one of the funniest moments of comedy in anything ever.
I also love when he basically ties Julia Roberts' brother. He makes Julia Roberts' brother tie himself to a chair. Mm-hmm. And then he goes to stand and he's like, nr.
Oh, yeah.
And he's like, I knew it. He's like, it's so funny. Just the way his whole body goes limp. So funny.
Okay. This next one, I'll be honest, I'm not as familiar with this first one, but it's Jake, who is Michael Schuffling from Pretty in Pink.
Can I say mm-hmm. something real quick?
Yes, please.
I accidentally said that that character was Eric Roberts. It was not. It was Chris Sarandon, who I think
you're
is
right.
Susan's ex-husband, I yeah. believe. So I just want to make sure I don't get any at tweets.
Honestly,
you will.
If hey, you're going you to pick
I
someone,
caught myself. I caught
if
myself.
You're going to pick someone to just put in a movie, I think that Julia Roberts' brother is a strong guess because he has like 700 IMDb credits.
Yes,
so it's just
yeah,
like
yeah.
if just throw him in any movie.
And
like, Eric Roberts is in that. You're probably right.
Yes.
Okay. So we got Jake, which is Michael Schuffling from Pretty in Pink. I don't. Mm-hmm. I don't really remember that dude. He's yeah.
the lead,
yes. Yeah. Or we have Sam, which is Natalie Portman's character from Garden State.
Okay.
I want to disassociate myself from Garden State.
Yeah, but I will say that that,
Adam,
that is...
you are not associated with Garden State.
No, was, I was on the soundtrack.
One of the most... That was like one of the earliest examples of the manic pixie dream girl.
It was, yes.
So was we might need to just throw that representation.
Craze.
You got... They yeah. deserve representation too. But
also,
the guy
Natalie
in Pretty
Portman,
in Pink is famously like very not good and charismatic.
Yeah, I think so too. I will also say for Natalie Portman, she's fantastic in anything that she does. I don't think
True.
I've ever seen her bad in something.
Well, Star Wars?
I still think she was
You're
good
an
in
angel.
It.
She played a robot.
She played a human.
I think you might need to rewatch that movie.
Go through all of her Star Wars scenes and try and use some sort of meter that indicates emotion. You will not find an ounce of emotion in any line delivery.
Anytime you watch a scene in that Star Wars movie and you think Natalie Portman's not doing a good job in this scene, it's Keira Knightley.
Her body double.
Which shocks everybody every time they watch it. They go, it's Keira Knightley? Yeah. Okay, yeah, I'm going to go with Natalie Portman. I think it's the better pick, Adel, because the guy in Pretty in Pink, what's his name? Who
I remember he, Jake
from Two
he's
and a Half
very
Men
handsome.
Is also in that movie.
Oh, John Cryer.
Yeah, and he's way more charming
plays,
and like
ducky.
Oh no, although he does have like weird friend zone guy energy. That movie's not very good.
I prefer
16
Portman.
Candles.
I'll go with Natalie Portman.
I like that. I like that pick. Okay, your next one we have William Thacker, who is Hugh Grant from Notting Hill.
Oh dear.
Say
and
no more.
We have Nick Young. Which is Henry Golding from Crazy Rich Asians.
Oh, no. Okay.
Yeah, this is a tough matchup.
I mean, but Hugh Grant in Notting Hill's are my top three faves.
Yeah.
I love him in that movie.
I know that Aaron loves Notting Hill.
I think I'm going to go Hugh Grant only because the guy in Crazy Rich Asians, there's a part where she's like, is your family rich? And he's like, we're comfortable. And that pisses me off.
Yeah.
Isn't
he
that,
also...
I think he says that, right?
I wouldn't say he's particularly funny.
And they're like multi-billionaires.
In that movie. He's just like so handsome and
he's
perfect.
So hot in that movie. He's
but
just
it's
so
hard,
hot.
It's hard to root so for billionaires. Hot.
Yeah.
So but I'm going to go
so,
Hugh Grant. And that keeps our British alive. That keeps our British ball in the air.
You have quite a few British balls.
Him going whoops-a-daisies when he falls, when he's climbing the fence. And she goes, whoops-a-daisies. That's the best part.
Aaron, you're going Hugh Grant as well?
Yeah, I gotta.
Yeah, I mean, Hugh Grant, he's an OG. He's just a fucking stone cold fox in that movie, too. Okay, we got, I fucking love this name. We have Baby Houseman, who is Jen Grey from Dirty Dancing.
Mm-hmm.
I can't believe that's the name of the character. And then we have Vivian Ward, which is Julia Roberts from Pretty Woman. Two iconic roles.
Two movies that I'm not crazy about. I know that a lot of people love Dirty Dancing, but it's not really my fave.
I've seen both of these exactly once, and Mariah and I, one of our very first dates was to see Pretty Woman the musical.
Oh, in Chicago.
Yes,
was it bad?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, cute though.
It was cute. We had a fun time, but the act one break right before intermission is like both of them in silhouettes going down on each other. It's like, and now intermission.
Yeah,
it's like, what?
The song is called Reciprocity.
Yeah.
Oh, man. I'm still excited that you and Mariah went on like a first date. You guys are married now, and I'm like still like, that's so cool that they went on a date.
It's a fun first date, yeah.
My first date with Gemma was in Boston. It was the day after I met her, and she was explaining to me how she will sometimes break things, and she was moving her arms to indicate that. And she almost knocked a $1,000 painting off the wall of the Italian restaurant. Like a framed.
Sorry. Yeah. If you guys don't know, Mariah is one of those blow up things that are in front of a car. Or, yeah. Or Gemma.
No, Adele and I both married car dealership blow up machines.
Yeah.
They're sisters.
Gemma. Yeah, they're sisters. And they're
hey, we're happy guys. Our electricity bill's not so happy.
They oh man, that's really cute though.
I'm gonna
that's
say like a Julia comment. Roberts. It absolutely
really?
Was. I'm gonna say
okay.
Julia Roberts
because take my wife. Take my wife. Sell a Pontiac.
I'm gonna say
you're saying Julia Roberts in Pretty Woman.
I think both those movies are like B minus, C plus.
Sure.
But I think Julia Roberts' character is more like I'm more likely to root for her than I am for Jennifer Grey in Dirty Dancing.
Interesting. Okay. Yeah, you know what? You've been defaulting to me this whole time. I'll give you that one.
Couple of B-minus classics. Here we go. Here's your next one. You have Jules, who is Emma Stone from Superbad, and you have Elle Woods, who is Reese Witherspoon from Legally Blonde.
I feel like Aaron's going to have very strong opinions of this, so I'm going to sit back and go with whatever she says.
Yeah, Jules would have done very well in any other round because I love Emma Stone, but
she's
Elle Woods is the girl. She's our
great.
Girl.
Let's do it.
What, like it's hard?
I went to a concert last week, and it was this band from Champaign, Urbana, and their name is
Urbana.
Nectar, and they, Champaign, Urbana?
Urbana.
Isn't that Urbana? That doesn't matter.
that's true.
This band's name is
Champaign,
Nectar.
Champaign, Eric Bana.
And the last song that they played was a cover of Perfect Day, and I was like, I love it.
Oh, very cool.
That's so cool. That is the best movie opening maybe ever.
It is really good. Okay, here we go. We got to move on. We got Tristan Thorne, who is Charlie Cox from Stardust. Just watched that for the first time last year. And Sally Albright, who is Meg Ryan from When Harry Met Sally. I'll have the cum sandwich.
You got to go Sally Albright.
So the first one, that's the Neil Gaiman movie?
Neil Gaiman.
With Ricky Gervais and Robert De Niro?
Robert De Niro
was Sky Pirates?
The Sky Pirate.
Yeah,
exactly.
I remember that movie, I think, being bad.
I didn't like that very much.
So, sorry, the second
Claire
one
Danes.
Was?
Is Sally Albright, who is Meg Ryan from When Harry Met Sally.
I think we go, Meg Ryan.
But you know who wouldn't get moved on is Billy Crystal, because he's a dick in that movie.
Yeah, we don't like him, but we love Meg in that movie.
Hello. Go watch, what's the Urban Cowboy? What's his fucking City Slickers? Go watch City Slickers. I don't know if he bought stock in that catchphrase, but he says, hello, 1,000 times. It's almost
That's
as
how
if,
it was done.
Yeah, it's almost like when he forgot his lines, he would just say, hello. It's unbelievable how many times he says
that. That's kind of cool, though.
Yeah.
This one would be tough for me. This is why I'm glad I'm not playing. We've got Ronnie Camerari, I think, which is Nick Cage from Moonstruck. And then we have Bridget Jones, which is Renee Zellweger from Bridget Jones, the Bridget Jones movie.
What was that first
Moonstruck.
One you said? Sorry, Mike.
That's Ronnie Camerari from Moonstruck. That's Nick Cage from Moonstruck. I will say,
Nick Cage.
That is top five Cage. Top five Cages.
I know,
Moonstruck.
But Bridget Jones is one of the most iconic. Rom-com characters. I love Bridget Jones.
And I feel like there's a part where he's like, I want to eat you like a wolf. Or he says something so weird.
I'm willing to bend if I get to talk about, and I know I talked about this in the show recently, but one of the best moments in any rom-com is at the end where he reads her diary, Bridget Jones's diary, and sees all the bad stuff she wrote about him, and he leaves, and she's like, oh no, and she runs out of the house with just her underwear, and it's snowing, and he actually was going to buy her a new diary, and then they hug and they kiss, and he puts her in her coat.
Aaron, can
and
I
it's
counter?
So good. Yes.
One of the best scenes of any rom-com is at the end of Moonstruck. There's all this like weird people pretending to be whatever they're not and lies. And at the end, it all gets sussed out where like the brother comes in and Nick Cage reveals what's happening. And the grandpa is sitting at the dining room table and he's crying. And his son goes, Grandpa, Dad, why are you crying? And he goes, I'm so confused. Which is it's one of the best moments in TV history because he's just like, I don't know what's going on. I'm not the audience. I didn't see the plot points.
We need a vote. We gotta have a vote.
You win.
Nick Cage.
All right, Ronnie Camerari's moving on. Okay, we've got Patrick Verona, which is Heath Ledger from 10 Things I Hate About You. God, what a great
name. Wait, hold on.
Who's going to beat that?
His last name is Verona? Nose?
That on the nose.
I had no idea.
We have Erica Berry, who is Diane Keaton from Something's Gotta Give.
I love Diane Keaton, but we got to go Heath Ledger. Are you kidding?
I got to go Heath Ledger.
Yeah, it's not really a contest there with Heath. That's a great role for Heath.
You
want to
know how I got these 10 things I hate about you?
All right, we've got Torrance Shipman, which is Kirsten Dunst from Bring It On.
Love.
And then we've got Duke, which is Channing Tatum from She's the Man.
I've never seen She's the Man.
Wow,
you haven't?
Really,
oh my, dude,
really
Adel, I am begging you to watch it tonight.
Is that Amanda Bynes?
Yes, her accent when she's a man in that movie is the funniest. It's unintentionally the funniest thing I've ever heard in my life.
When you say accent, do you mean she's like, hey, how's it going, guys? Or is it like a...
No.
That's what men have, accents.
Yeah,
men
that
have accents,
would be,
women have voices.
That would be an interesting, correct one-to-one. She does the craziest thing I've ever seen anyone do in cinema. I don't know why we're not talking about it all the time.
Well, this will be my night tonight.
I think we got to go. What's the first one you said?
That's Torrance Shipman. That's Kirsten Dunst from Bring It On.
I'm more interested in going with her, but Adel, what do you think?
I think we're going to have to default it to it because Adel has not seen She's the Man. So
let's do it.
Yeah.
He's going to disqualify himself on that one.
Yeah, we'll go with Kirsten Dunst.
All right, here we go. We've got Fitzwilliam Darcy, who is Colin Firth.
Bridget Jones.
Bridget Jones, yes, I'm sorry. And then
he plays Mr. Darcy. How am I missing these last names that are so on the nose?
I know. Mariah told me that his name was Mr. Darcy in that movie, and I was like, is it a Pride and Prejudice thing? And she was like, no, it's not like, the movie's not like a one-to-one, but he is a Mr. Darcy. And I was like, it's insane. Anyway, then we have Jane Smith, who is Angelina Jolie from Mr. and Mrs. Smith.
I mean, Darcy.
Yeah,
of course.
Yeah, we got a lot of Brits in the, a lot of Brits moving on around, too.
They just make better rom-coms.
All right, here we go. Samantha, and this is Molly Ringwald from Pretty in Pink, or Corey Mason. This is Liv Tyler from Empire Records.
Oh, poor.
Empire Records.
That's being turned into a musical?
Yes,
that's
please.
Great.
The three of us, I believe, have had this conversation before. Empire Records is one of the most underrated movies of all time.
Fantastic.
It is phenomenal.
Diet pills. Your perfect face and your perfect body and your perfect
join
future.
The band,
I'm
Mark.
Stopping.
We
it's always
to join
about
the band.
Her.
I didn't even realize that this episode is coming out on Rex Manning Day.
No one knows when Rex Manning Day is. I think
we've got to move on.
We've got more quotes. We've got Michael Moskowitz, who is Robert Schwartzman from The Princess Diaries.
Okay, love it.
And then we've got Lloyd Dobler, which is John Cusack from Say Anything.
Lloyd Dobler
is the house elf in Harry Potter.
Yes, he's moving on too. All right, this
Harry
is the last
Potter's
one.
Harry Potter's in danger.
You
gave John Cusack a sock.
he's outside Harry Potter's room with a boombox over his head.
Harry Potter. Harry Potter
must not return
to Hogwarts.
In your eyes, the light, the sea.
The dark, the Lord, your eyes.
I need
the dark mark, your eyes.
Oh, God, I'm going to commission someone to paint that. I need it.
Seven horcruxes, your eyes.
Spaghetti sometimes looks like Dobby when she has her ears back behind her head, and I would love a little commission of Dobby, the house elf, in the John Cusack trench coat standing in the rain with the boombox.
Dibs on getting him that for Christmas.
All right, here's the last
Dobbs,
one. We got
Dobbs on doing
this. Dobbs in it. This one I love as well. We have Rami. Which is Mira Sorvina from Rami and Michelle's high school reunion.
Rami.
And then
love
we
it.
Have Loretta Castorini, which is Cher's character from Moonstruck.
Can we go Rami?
Okay.
Adel, is that fine?
I think since we already got, I mean, we're missing out on Snap Out of It, but I'm okay with that.
I watched that movie for the first time very recently. Okay, we have to leave time for the second bracket.
Yes,
so we have to power through. We're trying to get our main or one half of our two-hander from
great,
this.
Great.
So we've got round two. We've got Jude Law from The Holiday and Alicia Silverstone from Clueless. We've got Graham versus Cher.
I'd say Cher.
Oh.
Whoa.
No.
All right, fine. That's fine. Cher.
Okay, we're going to go with Cher. Ooh, sorry, Jude Law from The Holiday. I hate to see you go, but I love watching you walk away. Now we've got Gracie Hart. This is Sandy B from Miss Congeniality. And we've got Wesley, who is Cary Elwes from The Princess Bride. Yeah, this is tough.
Wesley.
I'd be happy to go with Cary Elwes.
Okay, I think that's a smart pick.
I think Cary Elwes,
We got. It's not Cary Elwes, remember, it's Wesley. Because when we get to this, this is not, when we get to this movie that we're casting, this is the character...
I don't
Wesley,
understand.
Who's going to be in this movie?
I will never understand.
And I do. So that's
we've got Natalie Portman's character from Garden State, Sam, and then we've got William Thatcher, who is Hugh Grant from Notting Hill.
William Thatcher, please.
Yeah, okay. Sorry, Manic Pixie Dream Girl, but you're out in round two. Now we have Vivian Ward. This is Julia Roberts from Pretty Woman, and we've got Elle Woods, Reese Witherspoon from Legally Blonde. Yeah, that's a smart choice. I think Elle Woods is a smart choice there. We've got Meg Ryan from When Harry Met Sally and Ronnie Camerici or whatever, which is Nick Cage from Moonstruck.
Sally
versus Cage.
Meg Ryan.
Okay, I'll go with that.
Are you sure?
Yeah, no, it's wrong,
not,
but I'll go.
He does not.
Okay, fine. That's fine. Fine. We'll go with Nick. No, you're right. Nick Cage is going to make it to the end of this.
Nick Cage,
you lunatic.
Nick Cage moves on.
Yes.
We've got Patrick Verona, which is Heath Ledger from 10 Things I Hate About You, versus Torrance Shipman, which is Kirsten Dunst.
Patrick Verona.
I love Patrick Verona and Seinfeld.
I just know we're careening towards Nick Cage winning this, and I just have no way of stopping it.
That's a romantic comedy.
I cannot believe you've done this.
Mr. Darcy himself, Colin Firth, versus Liv Tyler, Corey Mason, Empire Records.
Colin Firth. Oh. Come on, Colin Firth. This is a rom-com bracket.
Okay, I will say Liv Tyler's character is the least enjoyable from the movie. So
okay.
I'm willing to compromise.
Okay. Yeah, she's not my fave.
All right, Fitzwilliam Darcy moves on. And then finally, we've got Lloyd Dobler. Harry Potter must not return to say anything. Versus Rami, Mira Savita from
Lloyd Dobler.
Michelle.
Lloyd Dobler.
Dobler? Okay, sorry, Rami. You are not moving on. We're getting pretty close.
Dobler radar going.
We're getting pretty close. This is round three. We've got Alicia Silverstone from Clueless versus Cary Elwes Wesley from The Princess Bride.
Cary Elwes.
What if it was In Your Scar? In Your Scar.
He did not vote. Adel did not vote on that one. So
it's Wesley. It's Wesley.
All right. Then we've got Hugh Grant from Notting Hill versus Reese Witherspoon from Legally Blonde.
Oh, Hugh Grant. I'm
I'd
so
say
sorry.
Hugh Grant. Yeah.
Okay, yeah, Notting Hill. We've got Nick Cage again, Robbie Camerini, whatever his name is, versus, this is a tough one, Heath Ledger, Patrick Verona.
Don't do this, Adel. You have a choice to make here that could do, you could do the good thing or you could do the chaotic thing.
God,
and I'm begging you.
I know what I would pick.
What's tough is that both the actors who play these characters are dead. So
that's not true.
It's hard to
Jesus
choose.
Christ.
Come on, please.
Aaron, since you're sick and that you've thrown up a few times since I've been talking, let's go with Heath Ledger.
Let's go with Nick Cage.
I truly thought he was going to go with Nick Cage.
Heath Ledger thank you so much, Adel. That means a lot to me.
Oh, this is a tough one too. God, we're nothing but tough ones at this stage. We've got Mr. Darcy, Fitzwilliam Darcy versus Lloyd Dobler.
Oh, maybe Lloyd Dobler. I don't know. Adel, what do you think?
Wait, which one was Lloyd Dobler?
That's John Cusack from Say Anything.
And the first one was...
That's Fitzwilliam Darcy, which is Colin Firth from Bridget Jones Diary.
I'd say Colin Firth, yeah.
I think that's a smart choice. I think, wasn't there more of those movies? Wasn't Colin Firth in like multiple movies as that role?
If it was John Cusack from Gross Point Blank, then we'd have some issues.
There was a lot of Cusack.
He's so good and Say Anything. I had the biggest crush on him. Go ahead.
I had the biggest crush on him in fucking High Fidelity, and he's a dickhead in that movie. Mm-hmm. So I just love the dickhead.
Makes sense.
Okay, we've got Wesley from Princess Bride, or we've got William Thacker, which is Hugh Grant from Notting Hill.
Oh my God.
I say Wesley.
Yeah, we got to stay with Wesley, I guess. I don't know.
I thought
that Hugh Grant might win this thing, but...
Hugh Grant could have gone
Cary
all the way.
Is
okay, that's fine. Let's do it.
Just the hunkiest.
Yeah, Cary Elwes in that movie is
going
to be hard
character,
to beat.
And that character, what he goes through just to find Robin Wright Penn again? Or Robin Wright. Yeah.
Okay, we got Heath Ledger, Patrick Verona versus Mr. Darcy, Colin Firth.
Heath Ledger versus Firth.
I think maybe Heath Ledger. I don't know. That's what my heart's saying right now.
My only hang up is at the end of that movie, they play quote unquote paintball, and all it is sponges filled with paint, and it makes me so mad.
You die on
paintball.
Literally the worst
That's not
hill.
Paintball.
Yeah, it's the worst hill.
Throwing a dish, throwing like a kitchen sponge at somebody, that's not paintball.
Never in the history of this bracket has there been a player with such a fundamental misunderstanding of what the game is about.
So I think
Heath Ledger.
Heath Ledger, and then I think that Wesley is going to take it.
It's Verona versus Elwes. It's Wesley versus Patrick Verona.
Let's do Wesley.
Adel, you okay with Wesley?
Oh yes, that's my choice.
Okay,
that's
so it's preference. Cary Elwes. Woo. Cary Elwes' character Wesley from Princess Bride is going to be in this two-hander that we are about to see.
We're gonna have to go fast.
Which I'm your wife.
We're gonna have to go fast. So
yes,
I know what you're thinking. Wait, we just did like kind of like men and women in that round. So who are we going to get to play the other role in this two-hander? I'm so glad that you asked because we're gonna be starting this tournament bracket. This tournament bracket is titled Little Weirdos. We've got 32 little weirdos for you.
We're going to be putting some of these
little weirdos.
Dobby's going to take it.
You guys are the best.
If Dobby's in it, Dobby's going to take it.
I did try to pick one little weirdo from each property. So there were some properties that had multiple little weirdos in it. Here we go. Your first one, we have River Tam, who is Summer Glau from Firefly, or Phoebe Buffay from Friends.
Phoebe.
I do love River Tam. A very big weirdo, but Phoebe moves on. Okay, we've got Preston Myers. This is Ethan Embry's character from Can't Hardly Wait.
Oh.
Versus Coraline.
Coraline.
Coraline from the movie
no, Preston
Coraline.
Preston Myers. Can't Hardly Wait. And he's also in Empire Records.
He is.
We'll do it.
He's a little weirdo in that as well.
That's fine. But Coraline is so funny that you included that.
What, her eyes turn inside out? Who cares?
We've got buttons.
They're buttons. We've got Sebulba.
Read a book.
Sebulba from Adel's favorite Star Wars Episode 1 versus Invader Zim.
Sebulba.
Yes,
although, if it were Gurr, let's be honest,
it was almost
Gurr would win.
It was almost Gurr, but Gurr doesn't really have enough to do there.
But Gurr's so good. But yeah.
Just like last time, we're careening towards Sebulba winning this.
Careening towards Sebulba is the name of this episode. He drives with his feet. We've got Ula, who is Rob Schneider's character from 50 First Dates.
You're insane.
And we've got Wednesday Addams from the Addams Family.
Wednesday Addams.
Okay, sure. But although that other one, the first one is so funny.
An icon.
Rob Schneider, that character, he's pretty rough in that movie.
He probably screams, "You can do it." I get it.
Okay, here we go. We've got Charlie Kelly, and that's Charlie Day's character from It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia.
Love it.
And Paul Schaefer, that is David Letterman.
David Letterman's sidekick.
Band leader.
Paul Schaefer,
the writer
please.
Of It's Raining Men. I would say Charlie Day.
Paul Schaefer. Dude, what if
who's
Paul Schaefer and Wesley
weirdo?
At the end in a rom-com? Come on, please, think about what you're saying.
But Charlie, I mean, that he's so funny.
He's so weird.
Charlie is so, he's like the, he is the wild
Paul
card.
Paul Schaefer.
There's an episode where he's the wild card.
You don't right, get on. This game.
Wait, we have Fine. To throw it to Casey. Casey, we need a tiebreaker. Can you throw in the chat who we got, Charlie or Paul Schaefer? Casey's got to be the tiebreaker on this.
Well,
one.
I know Casey is obsessed with Emperor's New Groove, so it's going to be Paul Schaefer. Or was he in Hercules? He was on one of those.
Casey
right?
is typing. Casey is. Oh, sorry, Aaron. Charlie is Casey.
Sorry, Casey. I'm going to fuck up my audio on purpose for the next 2 months.
There is nobody weirder than Charlie Day and Always Sunny. Truly.
All right, here we go. Next little weirdo. We have Mark, who is Ethan Embry's character from Empire Records
yes.
SpongeBob SquarePants.
Mark.
Yeah, Mark is
Join the
weirdo.
Band, Mark.
We've got Alf, cool. who is from Alf, from or Elmac. Gollum from The Lord of the Rings.
Gollum.
Yeah, Gollum's more interesting.
They both eat cats. We've got Abed from Community or E.T., the extraterrestrial.
E.T. Same I love
character.
Abed.
They're
but...
the same character. I don't care.
E.T. moves on. E.T.'s a little more of a little weirdo. Okay, this one, I kind of hated putting it in, but it was really hard to think of 32 little weirdos. So we've got...
JPC?
We've got Gonzo from The Muppets and Lil Monkey Bones.
Oh.
Lil Monkey Bones, although Gonzo in any other round.
Hometown. JPC is Gonzo, so we're going to have to go with hometown favorite Lil Monkey Bones.
I got to say here, we can't let Lil Monkey Bones win because I feel like Lil Monkey Bones could go all the way. No one wants to see that. So I'm putting my executive foot down here and Gonzo is moving on.
No.
Gonzo
okay,
beats
fine.
Monkey Bones. We've
and
got
by
Slimer.
Gonzo, you mean Hunter S. Thompson.
Thank you. We've got Slimer from Ghostbusters and we've got Jack Jeebs, who is Tony Shalhoub's character in Men in Black.
Oh, that.
Tony Shalhoub. Do you know how much that freaking hurts? When he gets his
head
blown off and
movie,
it grows
yeah.
back.
Okay, this is, I gotta give a shout out to my buddy Zach Mast. I was having a real trouble coming up with these characters, and my buddy Zach Mast was like, what about this one? I was like, that's perfect. We've got the,
you,
I'm
Zach
a little
Mast.
Lad.
Well, what a good friend to be is like, you get a call saying like, what are some little weirdos?
I honestly asked my friends, what are some little weirdos? And they really came through. We've got, I'm a little lad who loves berries and cream from the Skittles commercial.
Oh.
Genius. Thank you, Zach.
Jedi turned me on to that.
And we've got Rami Malek.
Oh my God!
Just
another funny
person.
One.
Berries
just
and
the
cream.
Person.
Berries
the
and
person.
Cream.
Rami Malek.
We gotta
That's
go Skittles.
So funny.
We'll
do berries and cream, but that is the funniest
Rami
one
Malek
so far.
Rami Malek is more unsettling than he is weird.
Yeah, I was like, he's scary, and I was like, some of these are scary. Case in point.
Yeah, go ahead.
We've got the Babadook versus the Trix Rabbit.
Trix Rabbit.
Same character.
Wow, queer icon the Babadook versus queer icon Trix Rabbit.
I'd say Trix because again, Babadook's more scary than weird.
One of my favorite things about the Babadook is how there's like Babadook flyers and pride parades, and now they just the queer community just totally reclaimed the Babadook. I love that.
If we took Babadook,
thank right. God for the queer community. Yeah. They're doing the funniest, best stuff.
Okay, here we go. We've got Harry, who is French Stewart from Third Rock from the Sun, or Luna Lovegood from the Harry Potter.
Luna.
I think Luna.
Yeah, Luna Lovegood was the little weirdo that I selected from the Harry Potter franchise. We've got Ruby Rod. Does anyone know who Ruby Rod is off the top of your dome?
I want to say the lead singer of Rancid.
Ruby Rod is Chris Tucker's character from Fifth Element.
Whoa.
Yeah, and we've got Edward Scissorhands.
Oh, gotta go Chris Tucker.
Oh, yeah, Ruby
that character
Rod.
Is so... When he just goes, boo!
I love that
he's
character.
He's amazing, yeah. Chris Tucker's underrated.
All right, here we go. We got Rocket Raccoon versus, and this is another one that Zach Mass pitched, Steve Urkel.
Ooh,
Urkel completely off my radar there.
This is tough. I'll go with, since I can't decide, we'll go with Urkel, since Aaron made a decision.
Urkel advances. Adel, I think this one's going to be right up your alley. This is actually a really tough one for the last one of round one, but we've got...
Beetlejuice versus Roger Rabbit?
Beetlejuice, not little enough. Still very weird. We've got Johnny Five from Short Circuit, and we've got Mathazar, who is Enrico Catalani's character from Galaxy Quest.
Oh,
that's all you, Adel.
He's the alien that talks
Colin
like
Tony.
This? Is that
yes.
that guy? Oh,
yes, he's Mathazar, the alien that talks like this.
Oh my God, that guy is so fucking good. He's from, I think, Just Shoot Me, right?
He's also from Veronica Mars.
Veronica Mars, yeah.
And he is on Just Shoot Me as well, yeah.
Galaxy Quest, I feel like that should have won like a freaking Oscar or something.
Also,
Shaloub
is also one of those aliens.
Shaloub, Rainn Wilson's one of the aliens.
Yeah.
Sam Rockwell's in that.
All right, sorry, Johnny Five. Yeah. But
Mathazar. Alive.
Mathazar moves on. So here we go, round two. We got to finish up round two strong. Right, we've got Phoebe from Friends versus Ethan Embry. As Preston Myers from Can't Hardly Wait.
I think Phoebe.
Phoebe.
Phoebe. Phoebe, just a little weirder, moves on. We've got Sebulba versus Wednesday Adams.
Sebulba.
Sebulba. Thank you, Aaron. I love you.
I know it's winning. I just am letting it.
Going all the way. We've got Charlie Kelly, which is Charlie Day's character from It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia, versus Mark, Ethan Embry from
Mark.
Empire Records.
I'll go with Mark.
Okay, Mark.
We just
Mark
know it's the bulb. What
At
are
this
we
point,
doing?
Charlie's more crazy than weird. So, yeah.
Gollum versus E.T.
Gollum.
Gollum.
Yeah, Gollum is definitely a high up of the little weirdo count.
monthly reminder to watch that little boy's audition for E.T. on YouTube
God, so
if you need a good cry.
So we've got Gonzo from The Muppets or Jack Jeebs, which is Tony Shalhoub from Men in Black.
Gonzo.
Yeah, Gonzo. Gonzo moves on, Zo. We've got I'm a Little Lad Who Loves Berries and Creams from the Skittles commercial from like 10 years ago, or the Trix Rabbit.
Berries and Cream.
the little lad moves on.
We love it. It was him and Sebulba at the end.
They just fuck.
Yeah, and they
Luna
just fuck.
Lovegood, Luna Lovegood versus Ruby Rod from
Ruby
Fifth
Rod.
Element.
Ruby Rod from what?
The Fifth Element. Chris Tucker.
Fifth Element, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Steve Urkel versus Mathazar.
Mathazar.
I am moving on to the next round. It is such an honor to be moving on.
So good. It's insane how good that movie is.
Phoebe from Friends versus Sebulba.
Well, I know what's happening.
Adel, were you the one that told me that in that movie, Galaxy Quest, that movie was shot as hard R and they were like, cursing constantly in that movie, but then they decided to change it, so they ADR'd all the curse words out of that movie?
You can still see that.
You can still see their lips like making curse words, but they've ADR'd and changed the curse words to like them saying like butterscotch. Yeah, it's very
That's
fun.
Cute.
Also, who could forget Alan Rickman as
Rickman
one of the
was
best
in that
characters.
Movie.
So good.
Rip him up, rip. We've got Mark, who is Ethan Embry from Empire Records, versus Gollum from Lord of the Rings. Who's
Mark.
More of a little weird?
I think Mark.
Mark.
Because doesn't he or who glues all the quarters to the floor? That might
That's
be,
Gollum.
That's Gollum.
No, that's Gollum. That's
Lucas?
No, the other one, the artist.
Is Lucas, right? Isn't Luke? No, you're right. It's the long-haired guy who sucks.
Yeah. He goes, I don't have to explain my art to you.
That's right.
Mark moves on. Sorry, Gollum. We've got Gonzo from The Muppets versus the little Berries and Cream lad.
Berries
Gonzo.
And Cream. Oh, Gonzo, you think? Okay. Wow. Gonzo.
Let's okay,
Gonzo.
Sorry, Berries and Cream lad, a guy who was in one commercial. You're gone.
Little Lloyd
Fauntleroy. Oh, this is a tough one. We've got Chris Tucker as Ruby Rod from The Fifth Element versus
Mathazar.
I want to say Mathazar.
Sure. I think that's good.
I can't believe we had a bracket where it was Chris Tucker versus Enrico Colantini.
Finally.
Okay, here we go.
The real Sweet 16.
I think we're in some dangerous territory here because this is the final four, I believe. We've got Sebulba versus Mark from Empire Records.
You want to do the honors, Adel?
We're going to go Mark Empire Records.
No. Yeah. We got to go Sebulba. No, we got to go Sebulba. I'm putting my foot down.
Remember when Mark is cleaning the store and then he starts dancing with a customer?
Yeah, that's great. We're going Sebulba. We didn't let him get this far for him to be out now. No way.
Mark or Sebulba? What's it going to be?
Sebulba. Addle.
All right, hold on. We got to do this fair. Casey, Marker Sebulba.
Please, Casey.
Casey's going to go Sebulba.
Please, Casey. Please, we don't know Casey. What Casey's going to do, but Casey has to tie break this.
Think about
has
it.
Has to tie break this.
Sebulba. Addle, Casey. Think about
okay,
it.
Okay, hold on.
This is tough.
I'm thinking, how do you spell
the alien? How do you spell the alien? Sebulba
I'm thinking
moves
of
on.
Carrie always playing, I'm thinking of Carrie always playing opposite Sebulba, and my heart's a flutter, so let's go Sebulba.
Yeah, all right, it's Casey
you.
Did Casey did sit down with Sebulba. We've got Gonzo from the Muppets and Mathazar from
Aaron,
up to you,
you get to choose. You get to choose. I chose Sebulba.
I don't know. They're both good.
These are both little weirdos.
I gotta go Gonzo. He's the perfect example of a little weirdo.
When I put Gonzo on this list, I was like, Gonzo is like the prototypical little weirdo.
He's the original Danny DeVito.
Honestly, we've got Sebulba versus
crawl.
Gonzo in the final. Sebulba versus Gonzo in the final makes so much sense to me, but that's it. That's the final. It's Sebulba versus Gonzo. Who is going to be doing
a gorgeous end?
A romantic comedy with Wesley.
Sagonzo?
Can we just do a compromise here, and it's a love triangle movie between the three of them?
Okay, so here's the thing. I'm going to do a follow-up to this episode where I write some scenes from whatever this movie is.
It's gotta be Sebulba.
And make us act it out.
It's gotta be Sebulba.
I know Sebulba's
Casey
voice.
Said bring back Little Monkey Bones. You're speaking for the audience here, and I know that.
Okay, so
Sebulba.
It's gotta be Sebulba. So now Sebulba.
I love this show. I love it here. This place is so weird.
Sebulba wins. So now I guess eventually here's what will happen. We will do another Patreon and we'll follow up to this. I will need some time to do this. I will be writing up a spec script for a romantic comedy with Wesley and Sebulba.
Is it gonna be like the Princess Pod Racing?
Addle, I'm not going to spoil too much about what the movie will be, but it will definitely be that. anyway, and then we will act out scenes from that movie on a future episode, if I don't forget about it. So, hey, thank you both very much. We've got Wesley versus Sebulba. You both win.
A dream.
Congratulations.
A dream.
I just blacked out, sorry, after Addle told us about his snack. What just happened?
Well, Aaron, this is going to be very hard for me to write. It's going to be a challenge. So I am going to need a setting where this movie will take place. I'm thinking, you know, with the whole Star Wars thing, maybe it should take place in like fantasy realm or in space or something. Do you have a location, Aaron, that might work for a movie like this?
Neptune? Goodbye.
Hey. Dang it, that's the wrong theme again. I mean, they are really similar, dude. That was Clue Crew, so now here's a who's who. The relatable host was Aaron Keefe. If you rolled your eyes, it's because of Addle Refai or that other young guy, fucking JPC. Casey Tony edited what everybody said, and Emily Cardamus did the logo. Arnie Parrott sang and wrote every single friggin' note of 1, 2, 3, 4, hate riddle riddles, Clue Crew.